the world, I gazed in awe at the wonders of our love. And as I learned the cruel lessons of life, Islam shone through as...
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are going to speak on a subject that is an interesting one because it's dealing with why people are afraid to revert to Islam. And it's basically, the title is Why I'm Afraid to Revert to Islam. Very easy. You see, many people are scared to revert to Islam because they believe that somehow they are joining a cult or some weird religion or something that is very foreign to them. And so many people give up different excuses why they become Muslims. And so what I've done is I've put together a few of the excuses that people come up with why they cannot embrace Islam or why they're afraid to embrace Islam. So we have a look at a few of them. I hope that I'm able to explain them to you in an easy, friendly way. Islam is a very fascinating religion. And when I embraced Islam, I just wanted to know one thing. I wanted to know about what you guys understood as Muslims about God. And so I was explained in a very nice, simple way that there can only be one God, and I've given all the reasons why. And perhaps towards the end of this episode, I can go into more detail about that. But one of the other things that I was afraid of is, I was afraid that if I became a Muslim, what about my culture? I was afraid that when I became a Muslim, I was going to lose my culture. And so the first one on the list today is that, if I become a Muslim, will I lose my culture? See, what happens if you come from a Chinese family and you suddenly become a Muslim? Does that mean you have to become an Arab? Or maybe in my country, many people feel that if you embrace Islam, you have to become an Indian. Some people in Malaysia who embrace Islam think that somehow if you're in Malaysia, you're going to have to become a Malaysian. So people from different countries have different fears because of the number of Muslims that there might be in that area. Now, in my country, South Africa, the majority of the Muslims, or the most Muslim organizations, most mosques, are predominantly run by the Indian community. So what happens in my country when people revert, they think that somehow they have to start eating biryani and curry and rotis and eating all Indian spices and Indian food and wearing Indian clothing and have to learn Urdu and Hindi and all these other languages. And this is obviously not true at all. You see, whatever your culture is, you keep your culture. And so you do not have to become some other culture to fit into Islam. When you become a Muslim, you become a Muslim, and that is it. You accept the teachings of the Quran. And so what is recommended is when you become a Muslim is to bring your culture with you. And this is the only religion, one of the few religions in the world, that actually encourages you to keep your culture, not to lose your identity. So if you are a German or an Italian or a Greek or a Jew or American, you bring your culture with you. You don't have to give up your culture. You still continue to speak your home language. You still continue to dress in your traditional dress of your country that you come from. Now you might say, but look at you, you don't look anything like your traditional culture. Well, I come from South Africa and we don't really have a culture. We're a multicultural society. If you had to ask me what is my culture in South Africa, I wouldn't know because we have so many cultures. We have 11, basically 11 official languages, and we have 11 different cultures that differ from one another in clothing, different from one another in language, different from one another in the food that we eat. So we are pretty diverse. So this is an adaptation of many cultures. The outfit that I have underneath me is something that would be typically accepted amongst many of the communities in my country. The Christians wear very similar outfits. The Jewish people wear very similar outfits. The Hindus wear a very similar outfit. The Muslim, very, very similar outfits. So I have something that's a combination of all these religions and all these cultures in one. And then the top is something that is unique to my own design and my own style. So you see, I've kept my culture. My culture is uniculture. And so that's what I've done when I embraced Islam. So when you become a Muslim, you don't have to remove your culture, you keep it. If you're German and you want to wear your Oompa Doompa outfit, you can wear your Oompa Doompa outfit. And so you can wear whatever outfit suits you. However, what you do need to change is your culture when it opposes Islam. So in this way, wherever your culture and Islam oppose each other or disagree with each other, your religion will always win, hands down, no argument. So if your culture teaches you to do haram things, if it says that you're supposed to walk around naked and Islam says you're not, then that must disappear out of your culture. However, everything else remains. And so there's only a few, there's only a handful, maybe two or three or four things that would oppose your culture. So you keep your culture. So excuse number one, reason why I can't embrace Islam because I'm afraid of losing my culture. No, You keep your culture, you keep your identity, that doesn't change. Now, the second one that comes up mostly amongst men is, if I become a Muslim, do I have to be circumcised? Now, the story about circumcision is something that you need to discuss with your local community. You see, what many people misunderstanding of what it is, they say, but isn't this a Jewish thing? Isn't this the thing that's under law? What does the Hadith say? What does the Quran say? How do I deal with this? What must I do? So the practice of circumcision is an act that you need to do with information received from your local community, because it does differ from one community to the next. Generally, it's an option. This is something you can choose to do. However, it is highly recommended that you do it. So this is something that we suggest that you do. And what happens is that it has been shown in many studies and many medical reports by Muslims, non-Muslims, by Jews, by Christians, by people of all faiths, that it is a recommended thing to do health-wise. Because what happens, a lot of contaminants and bad odors and things like that build up around the foreskin area. So that needs to be, it's better if you do have one, make sure you wash properly. But if it's better to have it removed. And so this is something, again, that you need to do carefully. It's also known to carry germs and things like that with sexually transmitted diseases. So the best thing to do is to have it removed. And so it is highly recommended, but it is not a law. It's not forced. You're not forced to do it. So if this is going to prevent you from becoming a Muslim, then don't worry about it. You do it when you're ready. And many people ask me, they heard that it is a law and that is you have to have it done. As far as I understand it, and I may be wrong, and that's why I said you should speak to your local community about it to see what your area feels about it. But generally, from what I understand, it's something that you can choose to do. I personally would recommend that you have it done. I recommend that it's quite a painless exercise. It's not going to be something that you're going to have excruciating pain over. It's a very simple operation. It's done relatively cheap in all countries in the world. And it's something that you have marked yourself. And this is something that we find in the Old Testament of the Bible. If you're a Christian and you're worrying about this, the Old Testament said that this is a sign between you and your God. And so this is something that we need to do. We see that even Jesus in the New Testament, he was circumcised. And so this is passed on right through to the Quran that is recommended that we do this. So this is something that we find in the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Last Testament. So as a step in your faith, have it done. And this is my recommendation. The third reason that many people say that they are afraid to revert to Islam is that they say that they don't know how to speak Arabic. And so if I don't know how to speak Arabic, how am I going to become a Muslim? Now, the amazing thing about Islam is that it's a religion of gradualism. And what this means is everything is taken step by step, slowly but slowly, one step at a time, slowly but surely. So there's no rush for anything. Now, the Quran was revealed in Arabic and was the language that Allah, God, chose to give the Quran. And he was going to give his revelation this time in Arabic. And so what he did, he revealed it to mankind in Arabic. Now, we believe that the other scriptures that were given to mankind were revealed in other languages. And Allah chose different languages that he was going to reveal his word to mankind through the different prophets in those languages. So we can't argue and we can't say, why did he do it or why didn't he do it? This we will never know. This is what Allah decided. And so the language that the Quran was revealed in was Arabic. Now, you can read the Quran in any language you want. Whatever country you come from, you read it in your language. So if you are Italian, you read it in Italian. If you're Afrikaans, you read it in Afrikaans. If you're Greek, you read it in Greek. If you're Sotho, you read it in Sotho. If you're Urdu, you read it in Urdu. And then you get to know it. So what happens, you read the Quran and you get to know the Quran. That's the most important thing. So you do not have to know Arabic to become a Muslim. In fact, you don't even need to know Arabic at all to become a Muslim. What you do need to do is, once you become a Muslim, it is recommended that you try to learn Arabic as you go, slowly but surely. If it takes you years to learn one line, that is fine. You learn it as you can, to the best of your ability as you can. Because it would be so much better to be able to read it in the Arabic and understand it in the Arabic. And of course, there's a reward for every single letter. Every single letter that you say in Arabic, there's a reward for it. For every word that you put together, there's a reward for it. So this is pleasing unto Allah, pleasing to God, because he wants to hear you repeat it back the way that it was written. And this is other than the reward that you're going to get, because sometimes we do things just for reward. You know, sometimes you have a son or you have a daughter and you say to them, if you wash the car, if you help clean up the house, I will give you so much money. And the child believes that the only time he needs to do anything for the parents is if he's going to get money for it or finances for it. So sometimes some people enter into Islam the same way, and they believe they're going to do something if they're going to get a reward. And it's almost as if they keep a pen and paper and they mark all the good things they do on the one side and all the bad things they do on the other side. We must get out of that mentality. That's not the right mentality to have. The right mentality to have is to do it because you want to do it, because it's the right thing to do. And so when it comes to learning Arabic, we do it not because there's a reward in it, not because there's so many points that we can get for it, but because it's the right thing to do, because we want to get to know it. And I am not a very good person when it comes to Arabic. I've taken a very long time to get to know it. So what I'm saying to you, take it stage by stage, step by step, learn it, get to understand it properly, learn to pronounce each word correctly. It's better to take a little bit longer and learn to say the words correctly than sound like some higgledy-diggledy mixed up slang language that you got, because each word is powerful. Alhamdulillah. Learn each word properly. Assalamu alaikum. Learn to say each word properly so that when you pronounce it, when you speak to people, it's good. But you don't have to speak Arabic before you become a Muslim. And you don't have to have the fear of that if you become a Muslim and you can't speak Arabic, that you're not a Muslim. So make sure that you learn the Quran properly and learn the translation properly, learn to pronounce each word properly. When you study the Quran, make sure that you understand the terminologies and everything that's been said. And so that is the most important thing that you need to do when it comes to the Quran. Learn it, understand it, love it. You know, so few people know how to apply the Quran to their day-to-day life, even Muslims. And so what you need to do, especially if you're worried about becoming a Muslim because you don't know how to read Arabic, when you do, learn to apply that into your life. Even when you learn the English, learn each thing off and understand it. We're going to take a short break. When we get back from the break, we'll continue with reasons why people say they can't become Muslims. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. In this first part, we spoke about how people are afraid to convert to Islam, and they have different reasons why they're afraid. You know, one was that they're afraid of losing their culture. Second one was they're afraid of circumcision. Do they need to be circumcised, or can they be circumcised or not circumcised? And the third one is they don't speak Arabic, or they don't understand Arabic. So we're going to look at now at the fourth reason that people give why they're afraid to convert to Islam, or the reasons why they give that they cannot convert to Islam. And that is because they feel pressure from their parents or their friends or society. What will my friends say? What will my parents say? What will society say when they find out that I reverted to Islam? Well, first of all, the only one that you should really fear is Allah Ta'ala. Your fear should be the fear of God, not the fear of what your parents say or your friends say or your society says. However, after saying that, you also need to use a certain amount of wisdom. Now, if you are 16 years old or 12 years old or 13 years old, I've had people who have reverted when they're living at home and they are 13 years old. Now, they can't really go up to their parents and say to their parents that they are Muslim, because their parents will scold them, or maybe they'll throw them out of the house or put unnecessary pressure on them or stop their allowance or whatever it might be. So we recommend that the child takes his time. And what do we say is that, like, leave it at least a year. So let the parents see that there's a change in you. Let the people around you, your friends, your family, your society around you, see there's a change in you. And they see you getting better and better, and they say, wow, you know, the last year you've turned totally around. You're more reliable, you're trustworthy, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do all these things that you used to do, and now you're such an amazing person. What happened? And you'll be able to say to him, well, I've got something to tell you. I reverted to Islam a year ago, and you've seen the changes. You've told me what changes you've seen in me, and they'll accept it so much easier. And it'll be much simpler for you to show people how you've changed if you can show it over a period of time and telling them all at once. However, if you're able to and you are financially stable and you're capable of doing it on your own and you are able to by yourself, and there's no pressure from, like, you're not financially obliged to stay with your family or whatever, then you should tell them. But again, do it slowly. Don't feel pressurized. Maybe you can drop one hint at a time. I know a Jewish girl who, when she reverted to Islam, she couldn't tell her parents. So she slowly started dropping ideas. So she told them about, like, wow, it's so interesting that people fast and how useful it is. And their parents knew about fasting, but not to the same extent as Muslims do. And so she got them used to the idea that fasting was a good thing. Then she spoke to them and she told them how giving money to the charity and to poor and sick was a good idea. And then they bought into the idea, and they also agreed that it was a good idea. And so what she did, slowly but surely, she introduced them to the ideas of Islam. And so when she eventually came and told them that she was a Muslim, they said, yeah, they figured that out a long time ago. So it was, parents are not stupid, they understand these things. So sometimes when you come out of your closet as a Muslim, many people already know that you've been a practicing Muslim for quite a while. So you can get them used to it slowly but surely. So do it slowly, don't be afraid, you know, have faith, have trust in Allah. Remember, the most important person that should know you're a Muslim is Allah. So that's the one that you, the most important being that must understand, should I say, is Allah. So that's what you should do. Make sure that He is happy with you. And remember, take it slowly. There's no rush. You know, you've got your whole life. And if Allah allows you to live that long, you've got your whole life. You've got 20, 30, 40 years to come out with the information. And for me, I obviously immediately told everybody, but other people, you could take your time. So don't rush it. So that shouldn't be a reason that you shouldn't embrace Islam. The other reason that people are afraid of embracing Islam, or they say one of the fears of embracing Islam, is because they don't know about this whole fasting idea. Like, I'm a Muslim, now I have to fast for a whole month? No, I don't think I can do that. Listen, at least you attempted. You're trying. Allah knows exactly your intentions. He knows that you are trying. So your idea is to try, and to try as much as possible to, without giving up, without taking second best. You want to do the best you can for God. You would want the best from Allah from you. Imagine if you prayed for Allah, please help me. I need to get over this anger. And Allah said, okay, well, I'll give it to you in dribs and drabs. The other thing that's to remember with fasting is it's not about so much about what you're doing. It's about what Allah is doing. Because while you're fasting, you're being blessed. Things are happening. Things are changing inside of you. You are changing yourself. You're being overhauled. There's an amazing spiritual awakening. There's a cleansing that takes place during the month of Ramadan, during the month of fasting. And what also happens, it helps us to remember what people are going through. People are suffering. Many people in the world don't have the opportunity of choosing to fast. They are forced to fast. They don't have the opportunity to just go to the local shop or go to the fridge and open the fridge and eat food. They have to beg, and sometimes they go 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, or 8, many days without eating. So we have this opportunity that we can just do it whenever we want to. So fasting, it's not an excuse either not to embrace Islam. The next one is to pray 5 times a day. People say, I would become a Muslim, but you guys are overboard. This whole 5 times a day thing, not for me. You know, it's difficult. Imagine the ruler of your country, the president of your country, the ruler of your country, and he says, listen, I'm inviting you to come to tea at my house. What excitement would you be in? You would be telling everyone, afterwards you'd be telling everyone about it. Now imagine Allah Ta'ala, the creator of the universe, is saying, you can come before me 5 times a day and you can talk to me. I want to listen to what you have to say. I care about you. Come, sit as you are. I'm prepared to listen to everything you have to say. And I'm prepared to answer what you ask for. This is amazing. This is the most amazing honor that we've been given. But again, it's gradualism. If you can only do it once a day, do it just once a day. And then slowly but surely build it up to 2 or 3 or 4 times a day. Imagine your best friend and you only spoke to him for 1 minute a day. Or imagine your wife, you only spoke to her 1 minute a day. Try and build it up to 2, 3, 4, 5. 24 minutes of the 24 hours that you've been given is to spend with Allah. So imagine, only 24 minutes or 24 hours, you can do it. So you start doing it slowly, just practice it. Don't let it be something that keeps you away from Islam. You start slowly, do your best you can do, take it from stage to stage, you go gradually. Gradualism, you can do it, I know you can. And then the final way that I want to talk about that many people give is why they can't embrace Islam, is they say that I'm going to have to change my ways. I'm going to have to change the way I behave. I'm going to have to change the way I do things. You listen, you're right. It is going to be tough. Changing your ways is not going to be easy because there's something that has to change. There's a whole change in your being that will transpire. If you sincerely came to Islam for the right reason, you're interested now to become a Muslim and you want to become a Muslim, you've come from a point of sincerity. You love this religion of Islam. You love God and you want to come closer to Allah. And so the way that you come closer to Allah means that there has to be a change. That's how we should be as well as Muslim. There should be a 180-degree turn. We should turn 180 degrees and go in the opposite direction to what we are facing. But some people, they do a 360-degree turn and they go back to exactly where they started. As a Muslim, you want to change. And so this change as well is going to take place slowly. If you come to Islam and you're still smoking and you're still swearing and you're still womanizing, these things will change stage by stage, step by step. And so what you do is you bring each of these things before Allah and you say to Allah, listen, I want to change. I don't like the way my life is. I want to get rid of these things. And one by one, you can change them. So you program yourself, you resector yourself, stage by stage, step by step. So one of the most important things that you see from this that we've spoken about today is that religion is a religion of gradualism, especially the religion of Islam. We take it step by step. We don't expect you to change overnight. You don't need to change overnight. It's something that will take place. There's a period of grace where you have a chance to change. Remember that when you embrace Islam, when you become a Muslim, if you are thinking that, you know, I don't think I'm becoming a Muslim because of these excuses, I've answered them today. But if you're thinking of becoming a Muslim today, I've got something good news for you. When you embrace Islam, when you become a Muslim, you start with a clean slate. In other words, all the sins of your past, all the actions that you've done, all those things are wiped out. You start with a zero slate, zero. You start with zero balance. So if you make a few mistakes along the way, remember that you are far ahead of everybody else. And also it says that every good deed you do will be multiplied. So you, for every good thing that you do will be multiplied. So don't worry about making mistakes in the beginning. All the good deeds you do are going to be multiplied. And so you have a good, you have a head start above all those other people that are in front of you that have been Muslims for years or been born Muslims. So you have a head start, you know, so make the most of it. Do the best you can. Don't worry about if you make a mistake here and there. You, as long as you're improving, as long as you realize these are mistakes and you start heading forward. So the excuses that people give for not being a Muslim, many of them are invalid. You can make a difference. You can be a better person. So let's just go through those points again quickly. People are afraid of, I'm afraid to convert to Islam for one. I'm afraid of losing my culture. No, you don't lose your culture. You keep your culture. Circumcision, it's optional. Don't know how to speak Arabic, you will learn as time goes by. You don't need to know Arabic before you become a Muslim. Pressure from friends and family and society, take it stage by stage. When you're ready to tell them, tell them. Fasting, again, stage by stage, maybe just do 1 or 2 days. Praying 5 times a day, it will get, you'll get it, you'll figure out how to do it slowly but surely. And the last one was changing your ways. That will happen as well when you become a Muslim. Remember, Islam, religion of gradualism. I hope, inshallah, that you found today's episode educational, and hope that one day we will meet and I can be able to welcome you to the family of Islam. So from me, Arib Islam, assalamu alaikum.